Hi, everybody. This is Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill, my political podcast from the middle of the road and from here. As President Joe Biden gets ready to meet with Russia's thug president, Vladimir Putin, I think that Biden will be so intent on reciting the perceived grievances that he'll miss any chance there is for a breakthrough. Then everybody will go home, and that'll be the end of it. Until next time. If Trump was still president, he would raise all kinds of hell if he were president this year. He'd be threatening tariffs. He'd be throwing his weight around. He'd let everyone know he was crazy. He's crazy. But maybe it's crazy in a good way. Here's Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
The boy mayor, just 31 years old, 53rd mayor of the city, great city of Cleveland, served from 1977 to 1979. He's written a damn good book about the experience. The question is whether the former mayor, former congressman, still has that hitch in his swing. He's 74, it'll be 75 in October. Does he have the wherewithal to get in there bare-knuckled, bare-elbowed, and fight for the city of Cleveland that needs a champion? So Dennis, if I may call him that, will join us in a few minutes. Over in Europe, President Biden is careening toward his summit meeting with President Trump. And I was just musing yesterday, probably that's why I'm off the air today. Temporarily. Musing yesterday about Vladimir Putin as a thug president, gangster president. He used both those expressions. And I said, I found great comfort during the Trump administration in knowing that our gangster, our thug president, was going up against their gangster, their thug president. And I thought that, you know, when push comes to shove, where did we end up? I mean, we had almost 4 years of Russia, 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 right? Russia, Russia, Russia. Regardless of how you voted in 2016, I would hope that you would have some sympathy to the man who is the target of the Russia, Russia, Russia. How do you disprove Russia, Russia, Russia? He was impeached. He was mortally detracted, Trump was, by the Russia, Russia, Russia baloney. It went so far as to the allegation that Russia was playing the Taliban in Afghanistan to kill our troops. Russia paying bounties to kill Americans in Afghanistan. It turned out there was no proof of that either. My point is, we've had a lot of obsession about Russia. And in the meantime, with all eyes on Moscow, since at least the spy Edward Snowden snuck over there, with all eyes on Moscow, guess what happened? The far more significant, far more dangerous, far more volatile nation of China cleaned our clock. They fathered, whether by intent or you probably accident, the virus that ravaged the world. 600,000 Americans, five, six, who knows how many millions of people around the planet. China lied. They coerced the World Health Organization. They lied about human-to-human transmission. They lied, they lied, they lied. They killed, they killed, they killed. The Russian Communist Party. And now everyone is so concerned about poor Joe Biden meeting tough guy Vladimir Putin. I tell you, I had a guy named Richie Utter in high school. He was a friend of mine. I was one of the few people who was friends with him. I was friends with him because he could be very gentle and genteel. And if there was sufficient provocation, he would snap. He would just go nuts. I had that same feeling about Trump. And thankfully, he never snapped in any national security way that imperiled the nation. But there was always that possibility. And I think that it neatly counteracted Putin, who had the same traits, same characteristics. So what happens is they work together in Syria. And before you know it, ISIS had been pounded to submission. Back to the Stone Age is the way we put it back in the Vietnam era. Syria back to the Stone Age. Remember who lost Crimea in Ukraine to Russia? Presidents Obama and Biden. Who lost the nation of Georgia, parts of it, a Black Sea nation that Russia glommed part of? President Obama, Vice President Biden. I miss the tough guy, erratic though he may be. He's got a ton of work to do before he is rehabilitated. You know, you've heard me say that. But I think to disparagingly compare him to President Biden, because President Biden is being prudent, I have no faith that President Biden is not going to get his pickets pocked. Pocketed. I am delighted now to welcome the man who was once and could very well be the future mayor of the great city of Cleveland. Without further ado, Congressman Dan Skocinich. Good morning. Good luck. Congratulations. How does it feel now that you've gotten it off your chest and announced?
Good morning, Geraldo. Well, we started yesterday. I had my announcement yesterday, and we set up our website at Kucinich.com. We've got a great group of young people who are helping to run the campaign. It's great to be back, but of course, yesterday I focused on what's the number one issue in Cleveland by far, and that is crime, and talked about, you know, bringing 400 new policemen out there to fight crime and a change in the sense of bringing 100 safety assistants who will have background in social work and mental health care, because not every 911 call requires somebody showing up with
so
a gun and
response.
So how would
that be structured? How would that be structured?
Well, it's structured to be part of the safety department. People would have to have qualifications in terms of advanced degrees, master of social work or something in psychology where they work with people, and they would there would be a call made, and on some of the calls the dispatcher would have to be trained to be able to evaluate whether or not it is a situation that is a top priority violent situation, which you would send those people to, or if it's a lower level priority that doesn't require an armed response, in which you would send people, the police would be police would be notified, they'd be in the area to back them up. I mean, you know, obviously, I think this is being tried in one other community out west, but it's time for us.
Would
to recognize,
in your mind, do you envision a patrol car with an officer or usually two officers and someone in the back seat from the Department of Social Work?
No. I don't envision. I envision a dispatch that would send people to something that is that doesn't require an armed response. Now, if it's dicey, immediately people call for backup in the same way police do today, but they would call for an armed backup. But you know, and again, you know, this is something that would have to be worked out. It's something I've been considering for a while, but you know, again, it's a little bit different when you get into the field. And we'd have to consult with the police and a wide range of individuals to determine what's the best time to send people out and respond. But the main thing is, Rollo, is that we've got to do something about this rising crime. I mean, shootings are up 56% over last year, and last year was a record year in some ways. Felonious assaults are up 30%, and homicides are up as well.
What the hell do you see as the problem? What has happened in the 4 years since I moved here? I've seen a grotesque acceleration of mayhem and violence, some of it quite close to home. What is going on?
Well, there's a number of factors. You know, one is that the society, there is a certain amount of disintegration that's going on, because when COVID hit, there are a number of people did not have a social safety network, and they're basically on their own struggling to survive. Another one is that the George Floyd incident, that horrible incident, smeared every policeman and policewoman and made every one of them into being culpable. And so what happened is that police started to pull back a little bit and afraid to go out there and do their job because they're afraid of losing their job, or worse yet, ending up in the dock. And then we've had a rise of criminal activity that comes from the gangs, no pushback on the gangs in the city. And the fact that police have been told they can't pursue violent felons. You know, if somebody committed a carjack on the west side, police saw them, they couldn't follow them. They were told don't pursue them when the perpetrator sped away. I mean, those are just some off-the-cuff reasons. But, you know, there are many more. I think that first, you have to have more police out there. There's no question about it. And they have to be out there in high crime areas. And there must be a real effort made at a community level to get people involved in supporting police efforts. Now, the other side of it is there are community groups that are organized to look at police conduct. And I support them, too, because there has to be a balance here. We cannot expect that every policeman is going to make the right decision, or may or may not have the best intentions at a moment. And so, yeah, there has to be a balance. And
Have you spoken to any of the cops about this?
All the time. I'm speaking to police all the time. I think that it's really important to know what's going on the street. And if you don't do that, it's all theoretical. And, you know, we cannot create an atmosphere where drumming up hate against the very people we're relying on to protect us. And then we also have to know that there are people out there. There are some bad apples, and they have to be pulled up short. And so, you know, I have the background to be able to do both. I mean, I can, you know, I know exactly how to handle this.
300 new cops. Is that what you really?
400.
400. And will you start a recruitment immediately upon election?
Yes. Absolutely. We should be doing that now. The money's there. I don't know what's going on with City Hall.
What is going on with City Hall?
They've been sitting on a rainy day fund. The tens of millions of dollars. It's raining bullets on in some neighborhoods. And so, you know, when you have
three
this
killed
kind of a
crisis, Friday night.
I know. I mean, look, people are afraid to go get gas in the city. They're afraid to go in certain shopping areas. They can't walk the streets at night in certain neighborhoods. This is not acceptable. You know, I've lived in the city all my life. I'm not moving. I'm right here, and I'm not going to, yield a neighborhood to a criminal element.
I happen to be a fan. I'm filled with admiration for all you've accomplished and the steadfastness of your ideology and your commitment to the community, civically. But it's been a while since you have been mayor. You were the boy mayor, a couple of generations ago. Can you reignite that spark? Can you put together a coalition that in the old days was based on working class communities sort of on the west side, non-black communities largely? Can you cobble together anything like a coalition now? What would it look like?
I'm already doing it, and I'm at the top of my game. You know, the years of experience that I've had, I'm actually in better physical shape today than I was back then. I write about it in that book because You know, I've been able to change my diet, and I'm raring to go. Now, there are people in every neighborhood who are waiting to participate, and I've talked to many of them in a grand effort to revive our community, to bring back a neighborhood so that, you know, they're not, so the fear isn't there, and to celebrate Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland is such a great town. It always has been.
We just one example. What would Mount Pleasant look like with the Kucinich administration?
First of all, the city services would be there, and you'd make sure that everything was spick and span, that people would have
help. What do you do about those abandoned buildings or buildings being held by hedge funds, hundreds of them, just wrecks, just the magnets now for junkies and worse?
Well, you know, the ones that can be restored will fix. The ones that can't will be torn down, and we'll find a new purpose for the land. I'm looking at legal action against the people are holding on to property, and they're not doing anything with it. They're just sitting on it, waiting for decay while the rest of the neighborhood tries to do better and fix up. You know, we cannot permit absentee landlords to just abandon the city and wait to capitalize on land. You know, they have to either do something with it or get rid of it. And so somebody who will do something. You just can't let a city decay. And because what happens is people who live in the surrounding areas end up paying a price for that. They end up paying a price in terms of their own property values being degraded. They end up paying a price, as you said, some of these buildings become havens for people who are violating the law and, you know, drug dealers and others. Now, we have to reclaim this city at every level. And Geraldo, the experience that I have as a councilman, you know, having served three different areas of the city, as a clerk of courts, as a mayor, a state senator, a United States congressman, I'm putting all that together into this. And I'm ready to go to work today.
Will black people vote for you?
Absolutely. When I was mayor the last time, half of my top appointments came from the black community. I was very involved with the community. And not only that, but, you know, because my family had trouble making ends meet way back when, when I was a child, half of the time I was growing up and, you know, as a person who happened to be white in a community of color. So I'm not disconnected from the concerns of people in the black community. As much as somebody who happens to be white can be, I have had the unique experience of growing up among people who were then struggling. I understand that, and that informed my politics, that experience, more than anything. You want to know anything about me? Look at where I grew up and how I grew up and who I grew up with. And then you'll know why I believe in health care for all, why I believe in decent housing and jobs for all, and why I believe that people are entitled to safe neighborhoods. I mean, this is where I come from. And so, yeah, I'm ready to be the mayor of all the people, not just, you know, one group. And,
well, I've got to say, I'm out of time right now. I just want this to be your inaugural address, in a sense, because you know how the great affection with which we hold you, Dennis. We have great hopes for you, your visions and ours, I speak for me and Erica, are very much in sync. We want the city to be revitalized. We want someone with a vision in this town of growth and rebuilding rather than decay and flight.
Thank you so much.
The violence of the last couple of weeks has been so deeply disturbing. Dennis Kucinich, you'll not be a stranger, I'm sure. We'd love to have you back on WTAM airwaves right here on 1100. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you so much, Geraldo. Thank you.
Right. All right. That was Dennis Kucinich, now officially hat in the ring. What do you think? If there are other legit candidates out there who want to speak on this microphone, by all means, you are welcome. Those of you who know Mayor Kucinich from his first time in City Hall, let me know. Give me a call. The other topic I'd like you to focus on, if you're in the mood for getting involved in the program today, is what I said about my thug president, our thug president, our gangster president, the 45th president, Donald Trump, why I enjoyed his unpredictability and his roughness around the edges. I thought that was and the fact that he was insisting the other NATO countries, they've got to pay their fair share and all the rest. I thought that that was Trump's strongest suit, that and some of the ideas he had. I'm telling you, he would have easily been reelected except for the COVID emergency, except for the pandemic. I know that's a big except. But he was on the right track. And the reason it came up, Trump's style, was Biden's style. Biden, Mr. Nice Guy, going in to meet with Vladimir Putin. Now Putin is going to pick his pockets. Biden's best, his best strategy is to say nothing, nod, eat the pierogi or whatever it is they eat, and then come home without making any silly commitments. But what do you think? What do you think about either of those topics? We'll begin in Pepper Pike with Marianne. Marianne, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, a lot's on my mind.
Okay, one, wow, we're ready.
For one, the violence in the cities, the gun violence, and Erica talking, I believe, yesterday towards the end of the program about the need for more gun regulations. The violence that occurred in Cleveland over the weekend was not caused by assault rifles, AKs. It wasn't caused by people who have a permit to carry a concealed weapon. It wasn't caused by the police. What was the violence caused by? For one, a lot of people are saying that the mayors, Democratic mayors in many of these cities, have just lost it. In fact, our own Mayor Jackson, wasn't his grandson? Didn't his grandson have a problem?
Yes, unfortunately, his grandson was involved in some criminal matters.
Yes, and so people are saying, where's Black Lives Matter? Where's Al Sharpton? Where's our own Art McCoy when this is happening in our cities? The other problem that I have is there is no way I would call the former President Trump a thug. What I would do is I would call President Biden a buffoon.
Wait. You know that thug is a term of affection.
No.
When they call me a thug, I like it.
Well, I wouldn't call you a thug.
Oh, that's nice.
I would call you mistaken.
Too genteel.
I would call you mistaken in a lot
okay.
of things. I would call President Biden a buffoon. He doesn't know the difference between Syria and Libya. And when he's questioned that years ago,
a couple of thousand miles apart. You could mistake one.
Yeah,
I've made the drive. It's a long way. Marianne, I got to go. You're terrific as always. Thank you for calling. Speaking of always, we haven't heard from Anthony in quite a while. Anthony, you're on. You're on. Let's see. Thank you for your patience. What's up?
Geraldo, as usual, it's good to have you.
Thank you.
Two things here. Insofar as violence is concerned in our society. Now, this is a great country, Geraldo. But I've pretty much resigned myself to the fact that, you know, maybe this mass shooting is part of who we are. It's part of our culture. I mean, and the fact is, we actually, more than any other industrialized democracy, we kill each other with guns more than, as I said, any other Western democracy.
You can get used to a lot of things, but I refuse to allow a society where we ho-hum the spread of guns and the incidents of mass violence. I think if we start making those commonplace, we're doomed. We'll be like ancient Rome and the circus and the Colosseum. We're going to just have gangs shooting it out. So we'll just be watching, young black men kill other young black men. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's got to change. It's disgusting. We've got to stop it. Marianne is right. I just want to say one other thing. Marianne is right. These guns that were used in the mass shootings a couple of days ago down on Buckeye, those guns are all illegal weapons, stolen. The numbers, sawed off, filed off.
Yeah, but Geraldo, one of the reasons we kill each other so much, so easily, it's because of the easy access to guns.
Well, okay. it could be, but those were illegal guns used. But it could be. Anthony, I got to move on. I appreciate that we do need, but it's too late. Don't you see? There's more than a gun than there are. There's more guns in America than there are people in America. We have, 330 million people? We have 400 million guns and more coming online all the time? you know, and some of these counties and other states are saying they want guns being mandatory. They want every single citizen to have a gun so they can protect themselves. Can you imagine? You imagine going into let's say you go into one of the big Dollar General stores and there's a stick up and the guy's got a gun. So you pull out your gun. Then the other guy in the other aisle pulls out his gun. And the other guy in the other aisle pulls out. Now you got four guys with guns. The cops come in. How do they know who the good guy is? Everybody looks exactly the same. How are they going to pick out, oh, there's a guy with a righteous Second Amendment gun. He bought legitimately at the store. Oh, that's an illegal. How are you going to tell? Well, you're not RoboCop.
And let's also... see. I'm sorry, Harold. Also, too, you're talking if you're in a supermarket or something like that and you got four or five people out there with guns, doesn't matter what their intentions are. It matters how well they're trained. I don't care how good of a Samaritan you are. If you got a 9mm sticking around, you know, places with shells that rounds can go through and through, I'm hitting the deck. I don't care who's firing it.
And you know who's going to get shot. The guy's going to get shot is the guy that's the best dressed.
Mm-hmm.
He's, it must be this. It's ridiculous. Bob, the cop in Miami. I haven't heard from you in a while. What's up, Bob, the cop? How's the weather? Bob must be on the beach.
I think Bob's chilling out, yeah.
Let's go to Jordan. Let's go to Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Ronald?
Excellent, man. What's up? What are you thinking about?
Hey, when you got Dennis Kucinich on, how come you never asked him about putting the city in default? It's always
well, you can talk
stuff.
About the city in default. You can talk about the power company. He's written a whole book about it. It was published today.
What about him? The flying saucer. Do you
we'll get to all that. And I met a flying saucer myself. I happened to be stoned at the time, but I recall it vividly.
Great to talk about all the good stuff, but he was probably the worst thing that ever happened to Cleveland.
All right, well then, Brian, you could be you'll dog his every step. You know, I like the guy. I wish him well. Is he my candidate already? I won't say that. I won't. I want to hear from everybody, and a lot of them are friends of ours, friends of the program. Speaking of friends of the program, we want what's her name, Nina Turner. We want her to come on. We gave Chantel Brown a big push. We like Chantel very much. We need equal time for Nina. We should get her on the program. We should get her on the program either Thursday or Friday. Rob, let's get Nina.
Okay, yeah, so, we'll see what's going on for Friday. I think Pastor Scott will be in on Thursday. So.
Oh, right. I'll be in. So maybe we'll get her tomorrow.
Okay, I'll work some. I'll
and,
make some calls.
I think that let's start. You know, when we're a little closer to the primaries, let's start a forum right here on the air, pick the mayor. And the prize for the end of it will be me and you and our editorial board, such as it is, me, you, Jake, and Ray and Erica. We'll pick a candidate that we endorse as a show.
Okay.
But
okay.
We're a long way from that in both the Congress, the congressional race, and the mayor's race. Although there are fine people running, and nobody doubts the proposition that any of the choices would be a tremendous enhancement over what we've had. So thank God we got some. In Medina, Jerry's on the line. What's up, Jerry?
Let's go back to Dennis Kucinich and your last caller.
You got it.
I'm going to tell you this. It is absolutely your cavalier attitude towards Dennis Kucinich that is the issue here. You have shook your responsibility to ask this man the tough questions while you have him on the air. Why do we consistently regurgitate these loser politicians who have been in politics for life, who have achieved nothing whatsoever, and not ask them the tough questions?
Hold on, Jerry. So you would rather a rookie take that job right now?
President did a hell of a job, didn't he?
So who you want someone that doesn't know where the police station is?
Listen. I'm not saying we need somebody that's illiterate. I'm saying we need somebody who isn't a lifelong politician.
All right. So if you come up with an idea, that'll be more useful. Then, you know, let's stop the whining. Let's come up with some ideas. If you have an idea and the person suggested has some inkling of what it is and wants to go for it, let us know. We'll gladly promote someone new and vivacious. I just want you to know that to the extent that I have known Dennis Kucinich over the years, that I like the guy. I like the guy. I like his daughter. I think that they do an excellent job. They are thoughtful people. Now, you may not like them. You may think they're too liberal, they're too ineffective, this or that. Say it. You got to say it. Don't keep it to yourself. Share. That's what the show's all about, sharing. Speaking of which, we're going to have another cruise for Autism Speaks. We have a guy who missed the boat last time. I forget his name. But we're going to sign up. So keep it in your minds. If you want to go for a ride, I'm only going to do one boatload, so seven people. Come on down, and we'll do a ride for Autism Speaks. Got to make a couple of grand anyway. So we'll take the ride. I'll pick you up at Shoreby or someplace. I'll give you a ride and take you back to where I found you, and we'll take it from there. Let me have one more question. Let me have to go to Marty, new Marty in Brunswick. Hey, Marty, what are you thinking about? Hey, buddy.
Thank you, man.
What's up? What are you thinking about?
Oh, am I on the air?
You're on. No cursing.
I want to say something real quick. How are you, Geraldo?
All right, excellent. Thanks. Nice day.
We love you, man. We love you.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to say, what would happen if Dennis Kucinich ate a can of spinach? That's all I want to know.
So what would it be? You must have worked it out.
Well, I'm hoping for the best. I'd like to see him come back.
Oh, I thought you were going to say spinach Kucinich. So.
Yeah.
Or spinach, you mean as in Popeye?
Yeah.
Oh, I think our listeners too young to get that reference. Do you know, Rob, you know about Popeye and spinach?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, yeah, absolutely. I used to watch Popeye as a kid. Bluto, and, you know, you got the Wimpy Burgers and stuff like that. Yeah, we're good to go.
Okay.
I just thought about that.
I don't think it's a winning campaign. Think of something else. But anyway, that would be great. Don't be shy. Come on down. So I understand that you think my enthusiasm or my affectionate greeting for Dennis Kucinich was ill-advised?
Well, I think you have a tendency to like politicians who are nice to you. I've seen this happen before.
I can't imagine who you're thinking about.
And I just talked to my mom, who is my rabbi, and she said that Dennis Kucinich was known as Dennis the Menace because he almost took Cleveland into bankruptcy. I was only about 2 years old when he was the youngest mayor of Cleveland, 31-year-old mayor. But he did sound very nice and knowledgeable on the show and balanced.
So what do you think?
I like his beautiful young wife, Elizabeth, who's an environmentalist. She's very impressive.
So what about the other candidates? What about our role politically? What do you think, if it's not to endorse people that are nice to us?
Well, no, I don't think that.
What do you want to do about Nina Turner?
She's nice. We have to have her on the show. She's nationally known, working hard for Bernie Sanders. I'm not a Bernie woman follower, but she deserves a chance. So I'd love to hear what she has to say.
We were very nice to Chantel Brown.
Yes. Yep. Chantel is awesome.
So for that vacant congressional seat, we haven't decided yet. So how do we endorse them? Should we just get together and say we like that person and don't like that person?
Well, I think we have to hear from each candidate first and then decide who we feel is the most balanced. For me personally, I don't like extremity, as I like people down the middle.
Well, I think that's tennis. I hear Rob tell me we have to get off the air. I hear Rob tell me, you know, going back to Dennis, he seems a middle of the road guy, but should in a majority minority city like Cleveland, a black city, should we have a black mayor?
Yes, absolutely. That would be great. But I think we should vote for whoever is the best candidate, not based on the color of their skin. But it would be nice to have someone of color.
All right, we'll leave you there. Pick up the conversation tomorrow. Before I leave, and as you ponder the Cleveland mayoral race along with other elections, let me go back to where I started the program, our obsession with all things Russia. It not only led to that phony impeachment and a new huge national distraction with phony stories about collusion, and Russian bounties paid to the Taliban to kill our GIs and all those other fake stories, like so many other of the stories against Trump. I think the Democrats, by focusing on Russia, have taken their eyes off our real strategic enemy for now and maybe forever, China. China, communist China, the father of the pandemic. I'm Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.